Welcome to Bridge the Gap with host Josh and Lucas, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. Powered by our supporting partners, NHI, TSO Life, NRC Health, Erdman, Sherpa, TIS, and R-Care. Find out more about this podcast at btgvoice.com.
Welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast, the Senior Living podcast with Josh and Lucas, and we are at the Senior Living Innovation Forum in Santa Barbara, California, and we have some more excellent thought leadership. We are talking about disruption. We're talking about other markets. We're talking about how different ideas can come into the space and challenge the status quo, and we've got a perfect guest on today. We have Chris Insko. He is with Aegis Senior Living out of the West Coast, and we're really glad that you're on the program. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
You have a very diverse background, and we'd love to unpack that today. I'm looking at your LinkedIn profile right now. You're from Arkansas, but you worked in the White House. We want to talk about that. And then you worked for Starbucks for 16 years before you have made this transition into senior living. Please explain.
Well, I think that's a great question, right? I understand why you'd say, how have you come to senior living now? And I feel lucky. I feel like in many ways... many of my previous experiences have prepared me for this moment. I grew up in Arkansas, as you said. I grew up, my father had a hardware store down there, and I worked there every day after school, and I had that DNA of customer service. I love that. That was my dad. That was my grandfather. Little town of 1,500 people down there. And, we ended up, Bill Clinton, who was the governor of Arkansas in a very small state, he came in the hardware store every once in a while, and our family got to know him in various elections over the years. And he ran for president in 1991, and I kind of jumped on that train early. I was in my senior year of college. And I think maybe there were two of us who thought he could win at the time. And, lo and behold, he got elected. And I rode that train to Washington. Got there in May of 1993 and ended up spending, most of my 20s working in the White House, doing various things. I worked in the press office for quite a long time for a woman named Dee Dee Myers, and then ultimately ended up as the president's aide for the last 4 years I was there. And it was an unbelievably spectacular experience. I can't say anything other than that. It was that world is one that... it's not well understood. It's filled with people that are passionate about what they do. Having come from small town Arkansas and the University of Arkansas to come to Washington and interact with that caliber of folks, suddenly it really changed my life in a very positive way to have the opportunity to be with people that smart, that passionate, and kind of set me on a path of wanting to work with that level of folks. In 2000, I ended up moving to Seattle. I joined very briefly a finance fund out there at the time, and this was kind of in the middle of the tech boom, and Seattle was just beginning to kind of get its arms around that industry. And then I ultimately ended up at Starbucks, a small coffee company in Seattle, founded in the Pike Place market of Seattle. And I'd always admired Starbucks. Starbucks, believe it or not, back at that time in 2002, was still on the whole relatively small. I mean, we thought it was big at the time, but looking back, it was pretty small. Today, Starbucks has 30,000 stores around the world, so it's grown considerably. And I was very lucky to get the opportunity to ride, another fast-moving train over a period of a decade and a half. And just had, some remarkable experiences. My family and I lived in Europe, where I had responsibility for the European business for a fair bit of time. And I also had responsibility for our U.S. retail estate for a period of time. Lots of mostly operational experiences, a little bit of time in tech, and, but all in all, a remarkable 16-year journey. And as I got to the end of that journey, I recognized it was the end of that journey. I had... perhaps too much coffee over my 16 years. But as I was telling you all earlier, what I realized was we were looking at, shifting demographics, which, as you can imagine, Starbucks is paying a lot of attention to both certainly young people, but we were also paying a lot of attention to what was happening in the seniors market, a big part of our customer base and a group we needed to engage. And I watched that starting about 5 years ago, and what I recognized was very few people were really paying attention to that in a material way. particularly in retail, but in across industries. And I thought to myself at the time, I thought that is a, as you've talked about many times here on the podcast, is a remarkable opportunity, both from a growth story, from a business opportunity, but maybe most importantly from a purpose standpoint. And at the risk of being, you know, a little bit too sappy here, I came from a family with lots of dementia and Alzheimer's. I put two grandmothers in assisted living communities over time. And it's deeply personal to me. And I knew that at the time I had those experiences that it could be much better. And as I got to know the industry and the market and started to look into it, I recognized that not only was this going to be a giant business opportunity, but this was a big opportunity to make a difference. And I don't say this lightly, that I think this will be one of the seminal challenges of my generation. I'm looking at you guys, you're much younger than I am, but it'll be the seminal challenge of my generation, of your generation, of my daughter's generation. I have a 9-year-old daughter. I was talking to her the other day and I was just looking at her and I was thinking she is going to work in healthcare. She's absolutely going to, because as you look at how the workforce is changing, so much of the workforce is going to shift out of a lot of places that we've traditionally counted on for job creation, like retail, like manufacturing, and it's going to shift to healthcare. And that's great news for us because there are so many people that are so service oriented that have so much capability and desire to be successful, particularly in the retail business, that we are going to be able to bring them into health. Bob said this morning in our panel, it's not healthcare anymore, it's health, and I agree with that. It is about making people healthy and keeping them healthy. And that was a long story, but I'm excited to be in senior living. I think this is... I said on my panel this morning that I didn't want to offend anyone, despite the fact that many of those folks in the room today have been doing this for many, many years and far many more years than I have. But I feel like I'm getting on the ground floor, and that feels great. And we're on a rocket ship, and I couldn't be more excited to innovate and make Aegis Living the best in the world at taking care of people at this stage of their lives.
Well, it's super exciting to hear your passion come through in your story. Your background is fascinating and how that application to senior housing, how you made the transition. I'm really curious to kind of talk about some of the lessons from the very diverse background you have, of how you believe that's applying directly to what you've learned right now from all the way from the White House through the retail business. What are some of those takeaways and how are you applying those now in this new sector?
And that's such a big question. I've just started in senior living. So I joined Aegis Living about 6 months ago. And I've spent the last 5 months basically working as a care manager in all of our communities. So we have 32 communities up and down the West Coast of America, and I put on our care manager uniform and I went out and I worked shifts in each of our communities. And for someone who, I did that at Starbucks when I started, so it's not an original idea, and I'm sure many have done it, but there is no faster way for me to have really understood the core of what we do than to go work with our teams. I mean, we have remarkably talented people who have been doing this for a very long time on the front lines. And I'll just share one story. You know, I knew when I got into senior living, I would get incredibly passionate about taking care of older people. I knew I would do that. But the hands-on everyday care, I knew how to make coffee. I didn't know if I knew how to do that. And as I started this sort of trip up and down the coast to work in each of our communities, I was sitting with my wife one night at dinner right before I was going to do my first shift at our Madison Street community in Seattle. And I was nervous. I mean, I remember very, very honestly being incredibly nervous because I'd had a little training, but I had never done it. And I walked in that community at 6 o'clock in the morning, and a woman named Helen, who was a care man, is this amazing 28-year-old Eritrean woman who had only been with Aegis for 6 months. And she reached down and grabbed my hand. She had no idea who I was or cared. And she reached down and grabbed my hand, and we just started getting up residents, right? Waking them up, getting them into the bathroom, getting them in the shower, walking them down the hall, holding their hand, walking them down the hall to breakfast. And I'm telling you, within 30 minutes, I was in love with that job. You know, I'd never seen anything where you could impact someone's life in such a simple but remarkable way. And, you know, sometimes I talked to my daughter, you know, sometimes our kids, I don't know if you guys have kids or not, but, you know, sometimes they're not always as appreciative of everything that we would like them to be. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just parenting. But what I loved about what we do every day is that the smallest things make the biggest difference. And that, you know, at Starbucks, we talked a lot about changing lives every day and, you know, sort of the interactions behind the bar. But at the end of the day, this is a business where you literally change lives every day. Mm-hmm. And I love that we have a culture that looks at it that way and that we invest behind that passion. And, it, you know, it's a little bit of a dream come true. I mean, I kind of found my calling in some ways.
Oh, I love that. So you coming in with a totally fresh perspective, you've been in your communities learning this business from really the inside out. What are some of the kind of key observations you've made? You obviously learned a lot when you guys at Starbucks were studying the aging population, older adults. What are some of the things and the strategic opportunities that you see for our space to advance into kind of the next generation?
Well, I think, you know, I'll try to start with the obvious ones. I mean, everyone knows that obviously boomers have very different expectations of our business, and we know that, versus the greatest generation. There's been lots of discussion about that, and that's very true. I mean, certainly at Starbucks, we studied boomers very carefully, and they do. They have a very distinct view of, you know, how they're going to develop their later years as opposed to how we think they may want it to develop it. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to be listening closely, and we know a lot about that group of people. And what's true is we're going to have to change a lot. There's mm-hmm. no doubt, and evolve with them. And when I say evolve with them, literally with them, because they're going to want to be a part of that design. Mm-hmm. And that's encouraging. I think when you get, you know, again, it's a Starbucks thing, but when you engage your customer in the solution as opposed to sort of always tell your customer, try to predict what they want, I think you get a better product. And the word product, interesting enough, is something I was very used to in coffee. I wasn't used to it in senior living. So I'm going to use the word experience instead, you know, trying to build on your question. This is about experiences. And, you know, we recently at Aegis spent a lot of time thinking about what we do and what we want to be best at. And for us, it's about, you know, creating experience. It's about creating purpose in your life, no matter where you are. And we're going to do that through any number of means. But those are the two things that I think that we are uniquely qualified to try to help our residents and families with. And that's where we're focused. And I think there are many things that we can, you know, to a certain extent, steal from other businesses that are in the experience business. You know, things like... And a big believer in this, you know, people don't buy what you sell. They don't buy what you're selling. They buy why you do it. Mm-hmm. And Aegis has such a special culture. I felt that as I've gotten there and understood it. But it's all about why we're in this business. And we're in this business because we think we can have a positive impact and be an advocate for seniors in lots of ways. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's a business, and of course, it's about doing well financially. But we think we've got a bigger, higher purpose there, and that is, you know, what I get up every day excited about. We just made a major financial commitment to a group in an organization in Seattle called Plymouth Housing, and Plymouth Housing is kind of the gold standard of nonprofits as it relates to providing services for people who are chronically homeless. And yes, we did write a significant check to a new capital campaign they are committing in Seattle. But most importantly, and I'm so proud of this, and this is exactly where, you know, you talk about community engagement and making it work. We committed to providing expertise mm-hmm. to helping them with homeless seniors mm-hmm. because, you know, not something everybody understands, but so many more people now that are homeless are seniors, and they have lots of issues that people who are in their later years have: dementia, Alzheimer's, you know, a lot of the cognitive challenges that we're all very familiar with. And no one's thinking about that very hard yet. Mm-hmm. And we think that's a great place for us to extend our expertise far beyond our communities. And that's the stuff that excites me.
Yeah. So one of the things that was talked about this morning in one of the early panels was one of the keys to winning in the future is having a winning culture. I think that was like the number one point on someone's presentation. I think it was Bob Kramer's. And I have to be able to pick your brain and see what you think about that. Because when I think about all your experience and I think about the brand Starbucks that you were part of, 30,000 stores, I think, or more, there was obviously a very specific culture carried through that brand. What are some of those things that you learned in working for some of these really strong brands of how to carry forth culture? How do you think that applies to what you're doing?
Well, I think that's the million-dollar question, because culture is, whether we always like to admit it or not, because culture is the most difficult differentiator to build, right? And it generally starts with the earliest days of a company, right? It's set then. And I think that's true of Starbucks. It's true of many great companies. It's true of Aegis. And it's difficult to put your finger on every day, right? It's hard to describe what your culture is. I mean, that's, again, the hardest question anyone ever asks you is, how do you develop a special culture? Mm-hmm. You develop it through the values of the people who work in the culture. And the culture is a living, breathing thing, right? Mm-hmm. It changes and evolves. And it changes and evolves because of the people that are working in the business. And primarily the people, by the way, that are working in the bulk of the business. Leadership is important, but only to the extent that they walk the walk mm-hmm. alongside the folks that they're able to recruit with the right set of values. And culture in our business is even more important because we are dealing with some of the most, you know, we're caring for some of the most frail people in the country. Mm-hmm. And that is different than serving coffee, right? The responsibility bar, you know, obviously is much, much higher. And it does take someone really special that has a strong set of values that believes that, you know, if you're going to spend your time doing something, you might as well spend your time doing, you know, because we all have to work for a living. Mm-hmm. I get that. And if you're going to work for a living and you're going to spend your time, you know, think about how you do it. Mm-hmm. And are you making the most of it? I'm sure you've read this book. If you haven't, you should. I just finished David Brooks's new book called Second Mountain. And it's he's a New York Times columnist who has written a book about his journey and understanding his callings. And I mean, there are many books like this, but it was impactful to me as I become one of those people that Bob Kramer this morning called the young old, I think is right before, you know, being a boomer, you know, someone who's really actively engaged in their careers and working and wants to do stuff, but is, you know, not 20 anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at this point in your career, you get to decide to a certain extent how you want to spend your time. And I feel very privileged to have had opportunities to have, you know, get to that spot. And that is what I'm doing. I am choosing to join a business that I feel very passionate about. I always have. I haven't always had the time or the inclination or the moment to kind of join it. But it's now, and I couldn't be more excited.
One of the things that's a great parlay, Josh and I, you know, when Josh actually came up with the name Bridge the Gap, that all resonated with our team here. You know, we talk about, yeah, there's gaps. But more importantly, that creates an opportunity to be a bridge, mm-hmm. Which is a part of being a culture. And this is an industry where you have the opportunity to have a career where you are a connection point from one to another place, where you're able to be a bridge there. With your diverse background, not only just nationally, but globally, Josh and I have talked about this many times, is that a platform where our industry can be able to elevate the love stories of the business because we are in it. We know exactly what you're talking about now, that you've basically, you drank the Kool-Aid, you got the bug, which really resonates with me, which creates that passion for wanting to make an impact on older adults. The narrative in the headline of the newspaper does not tell that story, the story that is the beauty of what's taking place. What has been the biggest thing that you've seen a change from coming in and not really, until you've gotten your hands dirty now, you've been the hands and feet are doing the caregiving. What do you think that the industry can do to help change the narrative to what's actually taking place?
So this is a big topic, right? So, and one that I'm excited about. So first of all, I think that it's, you're right. The headline is not right yet. And we've got to write that headline. And we've got to write the story below to support it and then get the right people to out promote it all the time. I mean, it's like it's marketing, right? Mm-hmm. But I think there's some things on our side. So first of all, I think the millennial generation is more interested in purpose than any other generation in a very long time, maybe since the greatest generation. And I think that's very encouraging because we're going to have some tailwinds. And we're going to be surprised at the strength of those tailwinds. I think young people, the kinds of people that we would target to be, care managers in an ageist community, the kinds of people that share the values that we have, I think they're going to be attracted to this business. And I think part of it is, yes, purpose, because, again, if we can get you in and show you what we do, you are going to get it really quickly. And back to that book, Second Mountain, struggle is an important part of life, right? Nothing's going to get handed to you. Every job is hard. I don't care if you're serving coffee or taking care of people. You know, it is about how you approach it. And for me, there are going to be a number of ways that we're going to sell those opportunities. One is purpose. One is, the opportunity to sort of change lives day to day. But let's get to the practical application here. If I was sitting here 20 years ago, I would have been saying the exact same thing about the retail business. If you'd told me that opportunities to get more responsibility more quickly, I mean, 20 years ago, I was a young gun ready to go, taking on more responsibility, and someone directed me to retail. And I, luckily took advantage of that. But if I was a young person today and I was just coming out of school or thinking about where I wanted to take my career, if you were not thinking about healthcare right now, you're not paying attention. I mean, this is a place that, and I just said this about retail, 20 years ago, it was very true for retail. It was one of those places that you could get in, work your way up. If you were good and diligent and smart, you could get responsibility far quicker than you could in lots of other places. And I think healthcare is a little bit like that today, a lot like it, actually. And particularly in our business, if you come into this business, you get in there and on the ground and learn it from the ground up, you are going to have unlimited career opportunities because clearly the market itself is growing. But, we're getting more sophisticated as operators, right? We can't possibly find enough talent. So that's why it's confusing to me sometimes why there are not more people clamoring to get in the business. I think part of it is our sales pitch. We absolutely have to hone that and focus it. But I think, again, as I said in the beginning, we got lots of tailwinds coming our way, and I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised at the talent coming into this business that is really aligned with the values that we have at Aegis and many other operators have.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. We've actually talked about that a lot, that the comment you made and the point you made about the millennials, the younger generation, I think the way you phrased it was maybe they're the most driven towards purpose and purposeful ways of making a living since the greatest generation, which is really cool because now we're at this pivot point of moving from serving the greatest generation to the next generation, and we're going to be relying a lot on the millennial generation. So what a great bridge that we have an opportunity to serve right there. I want to digress back in the conversation.
Can I say one other thing that I think
please.
Is really relevant here? So I'm kind of a health nut. Have been for a long time. Quit eating meat 2 years ago. I'm kind of signed up to the whole.
And I was eating beef jerky when you came on. I feel terrible. So, yeah.
The point is that another way to engage, I think, young people in this is this health range, right? Where we are, they're paying attention to what their parents and their grandparents are doing. They are more focused on health than they've ever been. We've got more evidence than we ever have about, diet, exercise, sleep, community engagement, all these things that are holistic preventative measures that, you know, millennials are paying, I think they're paying a lot of attention to. Certainly the young old, as Bob says, you know, I'm paying attention to it. And I think that's another way to engage them. You know, they recognize that their grandparents or their parents' lives, you know, in their later years are going to be better if they're, if they are, you know, paying attention to these health outcomes, you know, through some pretty basic behavioral changes. I think that, you know, that book, Being Mortal, you know, changed a lot of ours, a lot of folks' view about, you know, how modern medicine works and how, you know, really making sure that we are pulling in some of these holistic views of health and preventative health particularly can make life so much better no matter what age you're at.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to go back too and talk about something. You made a comment when you were talking about the younger generation and attracting a workforce and the culture about and changing kind of the narrative of our industry, that if we can get people in and they can sense or they can learn about it, they're going to be sold. But going back to the way that you have been learning, I love that, where you became a care manager and you've been going around all these communities. I can sympathize with that. I knew nothing about our space until I was in it. And the first thing I was tasked to do, I didn't think of this myself, I had to live in a community and work every position. And I fell in love with it instantly, and I had no idea that I would. And so thankfully I did that. Is that something that was that you thought up, or is that something that everyone has to go through that's in a leadership position in your organization, where they have to actually go out and work some of those positions that to really learn the industry, learn the space?
We do that a fair bit. Dwayne Clark, who's the founder and CEO of Aegis Living, that was his idea. If anyone knows him, which many people in this industry do, that won't surprise them. His tenacity and his desire to make sure that anybody he brings on the team understands, you know, at the ground level what we do, and particularly how we do it at Aegis, because it is really based on purpose, and delivering experience is not just care. So it was his idea, and I can't be more thankful for that, because honestly, looking back 6 months, I don't know that if I could have figured things out as well as I did had I not had that opportunity to do that. And it's a luxury, right? Because mm-hmm. it's a luxury because you have the time as a new leader to come in, and you've been, you know, I transitioned with Judy, who was previously in the role. She gave me the opportunity to do that. And it also gave me a great opportunity to get to know the people, right? Get to know the team in every building and every community. And it just gave me a head start. And
yeah.
Is it something we do with everybody? Not everyone, but we do it with lots of people.
Mm-hmm.
We've got one of the longest training programs of for GMs and marketing directors of any business in this business. You know, we think over-investing pays off over time in mm-hmm. training, in preparation, you know, and really being at the starting line ready to go when you get to take on your role.
Sure.
Your founder has been had some amazing articles in the news. I've never had the opportunity to meet him, but did you have a relationship with him? Is that a catalyst to getting you in this position?
We did not. I knew of him, obviously living in Seattle for a long time. He's Aegis is very well known and has a, you know, remarkable reputation for care. So that for the first time, I had a very positive view of Aegis before I ever talked to Dwayne for the first time. But we were connected through a member of the board, you know, and that's how Dwayne and I met. And over a period of several months, we had a number of conversations. And Dwayne let me know very early on that he was going to get to know me at a level of detail I had never anticipated, and I understand that, right? These are big decisions as you decide to hire people at senior levels, and you need to make sure, you know, I think Dwayne did a very good job of just, you know, spending the first couple of conversations making sure we were in the same solar system on values, because, you know, if you don't get that right in such a values-based, culture-based, people first organization, it's not going to work. And I appreciated that. In fact, you know, those conversations really drove me to do, you know, want to learn more. And whether he designed it that way or not, that's the way it worked out. And, you know, by the end, it was clear that for me, this was an opportunity I wanted to get, and I was going to work hard for it. And, you know, I'm grateful that he's given me the responsibility and the opportunity and the trust. I mean, you know, the trust to look after this business with the responsibility that we have every day.
So what's on the horizon over the next 3 to 5, 10 years for Aegis?
Well, Aegis has today 32 communities across Washington, California, and Nevada. We have 9 communities in development as we speak. One opening on Mercer Island, Washington, a beautiful new lodge, probably the most beautiful property I've seen anywhere. I've actually traveled recently. Opening on Mercer Island, Washington in just a couple of weeks. That will be our next project. And, you know, you're going to see us stay very focused on these states we're operating in, particularly Washington and California. And, you know, honestly, if I think hard about it, you know, California is a big opportunity for us. We have, you know, a very good and growing business in Northern California and the Los Angeles area. But we will absolutely be looking for opportunities to smartly grow the business in those areas. And of course, in Seattle, many of the new projects that we have underway, new communities underway, are in that area. And, you know, we're going from strength to strength. So I think it's going to be a very exciting new chapter for Aegis as we think about the coming 10 years. And the team is, we've got an unbelievably talented group of people that Dwayne has brought together from any number of brands, many outside of senior living, Nordstrom, Amazon, Disney, you know, experienced brands to bring a focus to the experience for residents that hopefully has never been seen.
That's so exciting. That's awesome. Well, we talk about that a lot, how so many outside influences now are needed with fresh eyes, fresh perspectives for this pivot point in our space. So thanks for joining us today. Thanks for sharing your knowledge. It's exciting to have your knowledge base being applied to senior housing. Very new to the space, but already a thought leader in the space here at the Senior Living Innovation Forum, sharing with us today. Thanks for spending time at the conference. Thanks for spending time with us. We're going to make sure we connect our audience to you, and Lucas will share more about that.
Sure. And
I mean, I should also say, though, I'm really glad to be with two people who've got the right accent. That's all I'm going to say.
We appreciate the shared Southern accent. That's right.
That's exactly right. Well, and thank you also a little kind of offline to give our listeners a little bit of backstory. We hadn't met you before, mainly because you're new kid on the block. You had talked about the podcast, so really grateful that you've been listening. Not exactly sure how you got connected. Probably.
Well, you know, it's funny. I know the podcast because when I first started considering this, I found you online. You know, new to the business, new to the industry, and I listened to the podcast, and that's how I know you, because that's how I got my early education on how to think about some of these issues. So I'm grateful for you, to you too, as well, because you helped me get a little bit of a head start in the business.
Well, wonderful. That's super cool to hear, and that, you know, it's been an interesting journey for Lucas and myself, just a little over a year in, and honestly, we didn't really know much about a podcast. We just felt a passion to do it, and thank you for sharing that. That means a lot.
Yeah, and it gives us an opportunity to meet guys like you, and you know what, calling a million workers.
That's right.
let's bring a million new workers into the space over the next couple of years, and let's use the BTG voice as a platform to ring the bell and sound the alarms to this industry to bring good people in so they can have purpose and passion in caring for older adults. What a great opportunity this is, and thank you so much for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap.
The podcast team wants to hear from you. If you're on Instagram, let us know your takeaways. Take a screenshot of the show you just listened to, tag BTG Voice, and we might just share your thoughts. Thanks for listening to Bridge the Gap.